Hello there, we're in the Word House, House of the Rocky Nugu. Understand that God does His things through His Word, and nothing beyond it. It's our privilege, therefore, to minister God's Word to you. And we believe that as you listen and live by these principles you're about to hear, your life will definitely be transformed. Listen and be blessed.
Hallelujah. Can you love on Jesus in the house this morning? I said, can you love on Jesus in the house this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just wave those two hands together as we just worship Him this morning. Father, we love you. If SOAR conference ended last night, it would have been more than worth it. If SOAR conference ended yesterday morning, it would have been more than worth it. But alas, you have inundated us already with your blessings. And yet you still have much more to come. Pastor Jerry arrives this evening. Pastor George arrives this evening. We still have many more bombardments to go. How blessed we are as a people. How privileged we are as a city to host this great man in whose life God has laid His hands. Father, we are grateful. This morning we ask that in this leadership session, inspire our hearts, strengthen our hearts, encourage our hearts, glorify Jesus in our midst. Let your word bring succor and comfort to someone. Let it restore back hopes for someone who is giving up on life and ministry. Let it restore back joy for somebody who stopped laughing a long time ago. Above all, let Jesus be at the center of it all. We'll give you all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Now give Him a shout of victory in the house. Hallelujah. You may be seated like the king that you are. This morning we're just going to run through and very briskly our leadership meeting. But I will not do that without first acknowledging in the house a man who is a father, not just to Enugu City or the whole of Enugu State, who right now presides over the office of the chairman of the Pentecostal Fellowship of Enugu all over Enugu State. Please help me acknowledge in the house a father in the land, Bishop CNC Onyelodo. Please help me acknowledge God's servant. Thank you, Bishop. Thank you. And you know what? Bishop was supposed to have been here from the beginning of the conference. I was supposed to officially go inform him and invite him, but my head got caught up with too many bills and I forgot. And it was only yesterday I got to know the conference already started. And if you notice, when I came in, I was trying to placate him, because I made him miss a very vital session. Now, on behalf of me, all of you join me to say, Bishop, Pastor is sorry. Praise God. Hallelujah. Bishop, thank you for your large heart. Good man. I also want to quickly acknowledge, she's my daughter, but she's also the general overseer of a ministry that I have history with, because our father was the general overseer of the ministry, and I've always been a regular speaker to him. But more than that, she grew up as part of House on the Rock back in the day when she was a student in Esut. And from the time she was here as a student, the only thing she talks about is ministry. She returned back home, she started working full-time with the father. We didn't know the father was going to pass away so soon. And today she has taken over as a general overseer of Shammah Divine Zion Ministries in the city of Warri. Please help me acknowledge Pastor Laura and Dafa Thompson. Please help me acknowledge her. Come on, put your hands together for her. God bless you. Please stand up. And she came actually with a team of her pastors. Where are they? Please let them rise up. Please put your hands together for all of them. God bless you. God bless you. You're welcome. You're welcome. Now, that's the mother to Christian's wife. Christian, my PA. That's the mother to Christian's wife. That's the person who raised Christian's wife. And by the way, Christian's wife, you know, is a first class brain. First class, first degree, first class distinction in her master's. And right now she's doing a PhD in California, distinction all the way. Full scholarship, full everything. That's the daughter she raised. Clap again. So that's Christian's mother-in-law. Amen. I said amen. Since Apostle Selman has finished all the revelation, until he's once again, good morning. So I'm not going to do revelation. You know what I'm talking about? So I found a safe place to preach. You know what I'm talking about? I found a very safe place to preach. And so instead of doing revelation, I'm just going to talk to you on 7 leadership lessons I've learned in 22 years. 7 leadership lessons I've learned in 22 years. And they are life lessons. So there's no revelation inside it. So that I don't enter the terrain of Apostle Selman. You know what I'm talking about? And this morning, I believe that the Holy Spirit will just encourage someone, a pastor, a CEO, somebody who leads 1,000 people. I believe this word is going to be an encouragement to someone in Jesus' name. Acts 28 and verse 1. We're going to read all the way from verse 1 to 6. If you don't mind, let's rise up for the reading of the word of God. Acts 28 from verse 1 all the way to verse 6. Let's read together now. 2, go. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the higher land was Melita or Malta. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness. For they came to the fire and they received us everyone because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. When the barbarians saw the venomous beast hanging on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt, this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth him not to live. And he shook the beast into the fire, and he felt no harm. Howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen from the poison of the viper and fallen down dead suddenly. But after they looked a great while, and they saw no harm coming to him. Let me tell somebody, they will continue to look and nothing will happen to you. My God. Tell someone they will continue to look but nothing will happen to you. And this. Thank you. And let's take verse 6 again. How be it? They looked. Tell somebody they will continue to look. My God. Let's say they will keep looking. And they will never see any bad thing happen to you. And when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly, but after they looked a great while, and they saw no harm come to him, they did what? They will change their mind for you. You're not hearing me. They will change their mind for you. They have been looking and looking, expecting something terrible to happen to you. But don't worry, the same people will change their mind for you. Come on, I said they will change their mind for you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Now let's conclude that reading now. And they said that what? My God. And they said that he was what? For the last time. And they said that he was what? He was a God. Psalm 82 verse 5. Psalm 82 verse 5. I'm going to just rush this, run out of your face. I need to take Apostle to the airport. Psalm 82 verse 5. Are you there? Read with me. They know not. Neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. Next verse. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. Next verse. But because they know not, because they don't understand, they don't know what belongs to them, they don't know who they are. He said, you will die like men and fall like one of the princes. Somebody say, Tufi Akwa. Say, it's not my portion. In the name of Jesus Christ. And just in case you thought that verse of scripture was a typographical error in translation, John chapter 10, verse 34. Jesus was now speaking. Jesus was now speaking. John 10, 34. Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law?" I said, "Eh?" Just in case you thought the one you saw in Psalm was a mistake, was some kind of misinterpretation, Jesus said, "Is it not written in your law? Ye are what? Gods." Next verse. Next verse. "If he called them gods unto whom the word of the God came, and the scripture cannot be broken." Notice whom he called gods, them to whom the word of the Lord came. Those who have understanding, those who have revelation. And they looked at Paul and they changed their mind and said, "He's a god." When they gave that prophecy in Matthew chapter 1, verse 29, and they said, "Behold, a virgin shall be with a child," Matthew 1, 23, "and shall bring forth a son, they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is interpreted what? Ladies and gentlemen, that prophecy was more than a prophecy for Jesus. It was a prophecy for the body. Come on, talk to me, somebody. Now, I'm taking the other side of God with us this morning. Apostle, like I said, I'm running away from the revelation. You know what I'm talking about? I leave that one for Apostle Selman and Jerry Ezey and Pastor George. So I'm not doing that. But I'm looking at it from another dimension. When they said, "He shall be called Emmanuel, God with us," I think God was talking much more than a reference to Jesus. I think he wasn't just talking to the head. He was talking to the body. Are you part of the body? Talk to him. Are you part of the body? That your life will get to the point when people are expecting some bad things to happen to you and they keep watching and nothing is, all their expectations and calculations and permutations and conclusions. If you read the Message translation, it said they quickly concluded that this man was a murderer who was on the run. But when they now discovered that nothing bad happened to him, then they quickly concluded. Put that verse for me. Okay, no, you're not there, so we don't waste time. Then they jumped to another conclusion again. And they said, "This guy is a god." I want to prophesy to somebody. Very soon they will start calling you a god. Amen. In your family, you will be God. Amen. In your neighborhood, you will be Emmanuel. Amen. When there's problem in the village, they will say there is a man of God with us. Say amen, somebody. Amen. When there is trouble in your family, they will say there's somebody who knows how to call upon God. Say amen. Amen. Shout a loud amen, somebody. Amen. For the last time, say, "God with us." Say, "God with us." Hallelujah. You may sit down like the king that you are. Gentlemen, when he says to them, "Ye are gods," he never in any way, if you notice, it's the small letter G. Come and talk to me, somebody. So, it's not in any way saying that we in any way are struggling divinity with God. Never. Never. But basically what it was simply saying is that we live, when God created us and saved us, first of all, ordinarily, God created man in the God class. Everybody say God class. So the Bible says he made him in his image and what? I can't hear you. In his image and what? And likeness. So let's settle that one. God made man in the God class. He created every other thing by what? Let there be. Let that be. Let there be. But when he came to man, he calmed down. And he said, "Let us make man. Let's make him in the same class as we are." So man fell. But after he fell, ladies and gentlemen, God programmed a restoration. And by that restoration, he returned back man to his original estate. That's why the word repentance is returned back to the penthouse. Are you still there, somebody? The word repentance is a return back to the penthouse. There was a penthouse. How many of you know penthouse in the building? That little thing up there in the sky. And there was a penthouse that we originally, it's called the God class. It's called Zoe, the life of God. That's the kind of life we're born with. But when we fell into sin, we came down from it. So what did Jesus come to do? "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Return back to the penthouse. Return back to the life you used to live. Because if you don't return back to that place, that's why he said to them, "Ye are gods. All of you are the sons of men." He said, but if you do not have understanding, you will die like chicken. You will die like ordinary men. What kills ordinary people will kill you. The things that take out people anyhow will take you out. Why? Because you don't know. And ladies and gentlemen, please understand one of the biggest mistakes. You know, I get back home every night and I watch the war going on in Israel. And my heart bleeds for Israel. But the beginning of Israel's problem, ladies and gentlemen, It's not the gay pride they've gotten into. It's not all the rubbish they are doing right now. Israel right now is one of the most godless nations on earth. The beginning of their problem was when they sat down one day and said, we don't want to be any unique country. God said to them, you are a chosen people. You are a royal generation. You are a chosen people. You are a peculiar people. You're not like other nations. They said, forget it. Give us a king. We want to be like all the other nations. We just want to be like everybody. The day Israel lost their distinction to be governed by God was the beginning of all their problems. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not here to deal with all that. I'm just here to just share with you leadership lessons. But I gave this background to say that God with us is more than the presence of God, which is the first equation of God with us. But there's, I want you to begin to look beyond all that. Okay, so what was the essence of the presence of God in your life? It's so that you will dwell amongst ordinary men as a true representative and ambassador of the God that is with you. Talk to me, somebody. The whole essence of us having that presence, Apostle have been preaching about for how many days right now, is not an end in itself. It is so that by the God's presence we carry, when you show up somewhere and people are watching you, hoping that you will swell, suddenly fall down and die, people will look at you and conclude on your life. Suddenly they will discover that they've taken your photograph to the native doctor. You still didn't die. They carried your underwear and they took it there. Nothing still happened to you. They've carried your picture. They've done all kinds of things and they still discover that nothing happened to you. In their mind, they will conclude, Amaka is a God. That will be your testimony in the name of Jesus. So, let me leave that aside and go straight to leadership lessons. I just needed to lay that background because of where we are going to today. Ladies and gentlemen, very quickly, 22 years, not be beans. Someone say not be beans. And as a church, we've been through the high and the low, rough and the tumble, storms and the good times, and all sorts. But I've learned a few lessons, which I believe that leaders, pastors, CEOs of businesses, and every other one of us will learn from. The first lesson I learned, ladies and gentlemen, is this. Get used to battles. It equips you to lead life. It equips you to live. Get used to battles. It equips you to lead better and stronger. Get used to battles. It equips you to lead better and stronger. Somebody say battles. Shout, say battles. Verse 21 of Acts 28. Go back now to Acts 28. That's where we're going to dwell within a few minutes and get out of your face. In verse 1 of Acts 28. Can you give it to me, guys? Verse 1. Everybody read with me. And when they were escaped. Can you read it? And when they were. For the last time, take it again. And when they were. And when they were escaped. I notice that in life, ladies and gentlemen, anytime day breaks, are you hearing me, somebody? As day breaks in the jungle, every animal is on the run. Either they are running to catch something or they are running from something. And the way it works is this. If you don't run fast enough to catch your prey, you will die of hunger. And if you don't run fast enough from your predator that wants to catch you, you will also die nevertheless. You are either running to something or running away from something. That's the way God designed life. That's why when a child is born, the first thing he does is to cry because he has entered battle. Come on, talk to me, somebody. First thing a child does is to cry because in a battle, from the point of birth, battle begins. Are you aware, ladies and gentlemen, you are either of three stages of battle every day of your life. Number one, you just run away from one. To use the word of Paul, you just escape one. Number two, you just entered another one. Number three, you're about to enter one. Everybody sitting here is in either of these category, three categories. You just escape one. You are doing, hey, thank God, I've escaped. Calm down. There's one that is by the door waiting for you. You know when you see students, they say, the only battle I have in is like, let me just get admission. If I get admission now, my brother is off. They got the admission. And they discover that all the lecturers around them are very wicked people. They enter another battle. Oh Lord, if only you can deliver from this useless school, this nonsense issue. I know that all my life problem will be solved. They finally graduated. Then they didn't know that inside NYC there's another battle altogether. Then they finally posted them somewhere. And from the first day, the boss said, if I don't sleep with you, we'll know who is the boss here. battle begin again. Then they managed to battle through that one. They finally came out and discovered that Nigeria is a jungle where there's no job. And they entered the worst battle of their lives. And now they're like, ah, God, if I just get married like this now, all my problem will be solved in this life. Until they ask the married people, who now tell them, stay where you are for now. Because if you enter inside this one is a battle you don't run away from. As you enter, you remain in this like this, so till you die. So, ladies and gentlemen, you either just escape one, or you just entered one. Okay, so take a look at the church now. So our first battle was how to build. We finally built. Then we lost the building. You know. See, at every stage. Okay, so as a young man, you want to build a house. You finally battle about. You got the land. After that one, you know that's the beginning of your trouble. You've got in land. Now everybody say, okay, so when did the building coming up now? You now face the building. How to get? As you're about to build, all the area boys gather together and say, you want to do what? And you're not settled us. Battle begin again. See, at every stage in your life, get used to battles. It is God's way of building your leadership capacity. Don't be scared of battle. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God will deliver him out of them all. That's why I want to beg you, don't die in any battle. It's only a passing phase. It will come to pass. And it's not your last battle anyway. After this one, there'll be another one. Each one makes you stronger and better. So please don't make and say, oh, this one that's happening now is the worst one. This one will kill me. It will not kill you, sister. It won't kill you. That's why stay alive. No matter what you do in the midst of the battle, please, can you help me beg two people close to you? Say, stay alive. Don't die in the battle. Don't. It will come to pass. The greatest verse in the Bible is, and it came to pass. Because no matter what you are passing now, sir, one day you look behind and laugh. You look behind and laugh. So calm down. Even this will come to pass. Get used to battle. Share this testimony over and over. Many years ago, when they began to export fish from the from India, I think India somewhere, all the way to Europe, they used to travel all through the Indian Ocean. And one of the most sought after fish in those days was the codfish, C-O-D, codfish, C-O-D. And every time they want to carry the codfish from this point to the Europe, they discover that when they get to destination, the fish has become soggy and untasteful. They tried ice block even made it worse. They didn't know what to do. How do we preserve this fish that will be very strong on transit to the point of the market or destination? They now discover that this codfish has an enemy called catfish. So you know the next thing they did? They pack all the codfish together and introduce two or three catfish inside. Ladies and gentlemen, from the time the catfish arrive, that's how he's chasing them up and down, looking for who to kill. And they continue that chasing up and down until they arrive destination. They found out that the codfish was very sweet, strong, and very powerful. Why was he strong? Because he's been fighting battles all through the journey. If he was having sleep all through the journey, it wouldn't be sweet. I want to declare over somebody's life and ministry, every battle you are fighting will make you stronger, will make you better, will make you sweeter, will make you more impactful. By the battles you are fighting right now, God will move you from glory to glory, strength to strength, and victory to victory. In the mighty name of Jesus. So please understand, God himself allows the battles you're going through in life for one reason, so he can make you better. They were not designed to kill you. They were designed to heal you and to make you better. And the Lord will do that for you in Jesus' mighty name. The second lesson I want to quickly share, ladies and gentlemen, is love and appreciate people, but never build your confidence on their affirmation. Love and appreciate people, but please never build your confidence on their affirmation. Love and appreciate people, but never build your confidence on their information. Verse 2, Acts chapter 8, 28, where we read. Verse 2. Never build your confidence on their affirmation. Because the same people that said today, Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord, will be the same people that will say tomorrow, crucify him. It's a stupid man. Who does he think he is? And the barbarous people showed us no what? Please notice the emphasis. They didn't just treat us nice. They showed us no little kindness. The kindness was overwhelming. They lavished them with love. But don't forget, they were barbarous people. The Bible said the heart of man is wicked and is desperately wicked and deceitful. And you don't want to make the mistake of putting your faith and confidence in a man. It says, these barbarous people showed us no little kindness. For they kindled a fire, and they received us everyone because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out of the heat and fastened his hand on his hand. And when the barbarous people saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt, this man is a murderer. Whom though he has escaped the sea, vengeance will not allow. Everybody look up here. Please look up here. Notice two kinds of fire in the scripture. Barbarous people. I looked up the meaning of barbarous. It wasn't something you want to see. Cruel, brutal, like Hamas. Brutish, bestial, savage, vicious. Those were the kind of adjectives they used to describe the word barbaric or barbarous people. The Bible said these people showed them no little kindness. And ladies and gentlemen, there's a way somebody will show you kindness, you can conclude on the person that the person is there for you for life. True or false, somebody. The Bible said they kindled a fire because of the rain. They kindled a fire. And in fact, one translation said because Paul and the rest of them were soaked to their bones. That's the Message translation. They were cold. They were soaked to their bones. So they kindled a little fire for them, which was a great kindness for them. But the Bible told us, Paul, if you read the next verse, it's interesting. Paul did not want to depend on their fire. So the Bible said by himself, he gathered his own firewood. Is there on your in your scripture? It says, verse 3. It says, and when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks. Let me tell you why Paul gathered it. Paul knew that depending on somebody else's fire to warm you is dangerous. Putting your life on someone else's fire is the worst thing you can ever do. Listen to this. People will pray for you. People will intercede for you. People will tell you, don't worry, Pastor, we are praying for you. Ngozi, we are there for you. Wonderful. And I thank God for people who love us enough to pray for us. But sister, I beg you, if you are going to survive the storms that are ahead of you, carry your own firewood, kindle your own fire. Is anybody hearing me? Don't depend on the fire of that prayer warrior or that prophet or that man of God. They are wonderful and they do some little job for us. But if you are really going to survive and go through what you are going to go through in life, you better learn how to get your own firewood. Kindle your own fire. Kindle your own fire. See, if they are dependent on the enemy's fire, they will never have discovered what was hiding inside the firewood. How do I break this one down for you now? The Bible told us, please everybody follow me, as they carried their own firewood. And by the way, if you take your time to look at firewood, the word wood or firewood and so on in the scriptures, you will discover it's speaking about words. Somebody say words, 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 all through the scripture, all through the scripture. I can give you just two quick proofs so we can get that out of the way. First of them, are you still there, somebody? Answer me, are you still there, somebody? This is so important. That's why I don't want to gloss through some of this important truth. Okay? First of them, Proverbs tells us. Thank you, Jesus. Okay? Proverbs tells us, it says, where there is no wood, the fire goes out. Where there is no wood, I wish I can get that Proverbs. The fire goes out. Proverbs. Where there's no wood, the fire goes out. And then he now breaks it down by saying, where there is no talebearer. Have you seen it? Where there is no wood. 26:20. Thank you, sir. Where there is no wood, what happens? The fire goes out. 26:20. Where there is no... How do people bear tail? How do they bear tail? Come on, so somebody say words. Say words. Firewood in the scripture always represents word. That's why Isaiah 11 verse 1 tells us, there shall come forth a root out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch. That branch is firewood. It's wood. It's wood. The stem of Jesse is a reference to the Savior, to Jesus, who is the Word of God. Is anybody hearing me? That reference is always, so take your own words, carry your own firewood. Nipoko sekete, riboko shata. Kindle your own fire. Don't depend on somebody's fire. If you don't do garia telebo, zegedegede, harakakakaka, tu. If you don't do, you don't carry your own firewood, guy, one day, that one you are depending on will disappear and you'll be allowed to face life and the battles unprepared. But that's not your portion in the name of Jesus. Now, the Bible told us, as he gathered the firewood and began to kindle the fire, suddenly a venomous viper came out of it. God knows how long that viper has been. But until you begin to kindle the fire in your life and by implication in your family, there are certain vipers that have been hiding. They are the ones responsible for why nobody is getting married. They are the ones responsible for why when you get married, nobody is getting a baby. Everybody just gets one child. Four generations. One Pekin. You think it's DNA. You think it's DNA. Any man that wants to rise and become somebody that will help the family, they just caught him. Wicked people don't die in the family. Poor people don't die in the family. The only person who dies in the family is the person who wants to rise. And listen, there are vipers who are hiding in the family nobody knows because nobody is kindling the fire. But begin to kindle the fire. Begin to pray. Begin to akokorata in akokoriata rebededededede 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m. You will discover there are certain things that have been hiding in the family that will begin to crawl out one after the other, one after the other, one after the other. I prophesy to you. Begin to pray over your ministry. Anokokoko irededede agogogogo ebebebebe ananana uregegege. I command, I declare, every viper hiding in your ministry, hiding in your family, responsible for holding down greatness, responsible for perpetuating poverty, making your ministry not to rise, making your life not to go anywhere, by the fire of God on this conference, we vacate them. We vacate them. We vacate them. We vacate them. Every viper holding people under bondage, intelligent, beautiful, no husband. How do you explain that? Intelligent, good result, no job. They still beg like their father who didn't go to school. In fact, their father who didn't go to school has more money than them. I prophesy every viper hiding under the wood, holding the family bondage, vacate in the name of Jesus. We tune the temperature of the fire in your family. We increase the velocity of the fire and we command every hiding viper, get out, get out, get out, get out. Get out! In the mighty name of Jesus. Shout amen, somebody. Have 5 minutes to go. I'm told. And I'm on number two. So let's just read the remaining one like a lecture. Are you still there? Okay, so let me, wherever that one is, leave it like that. Number three. Look at verse six. Howbeit, they looked, when he should have swollen or fallen down dead. Suddenly, after they had looked a great while, and they saw no arm coming to him, they changed their mind. Number three, pastor, CEO, listen to me. People are watching you to know how you handle storms so they can conclude on you. Give me the message translation. People are watching you. They are watching you. They want to know how they can conclude on you. MSG. Verse before. Okay. They kept expecting him to drop dead. When it was obvious he was not going to. They did what? They jumped to conclusion. Okay. The verse before this one, sir. Seeing the snake hanging on Paul's hand, the natives did what? There are two jumping to conclusion here. The first, they jumped to conclusion it was a murderer. Getting is what? What he deserves. How many of you know that there's something you're going through right now? Many people have concluded. I said we should just be watching him. You people think he's a good man. Me, I've been saying it right from time. People were not listening to me. Let's be watching it. You will see now. Shebi, you say, I heard that his father just died. You heard that his business just went down. You heard he lost his money. You people just be watching. The Bible says they jump to the conclusion, this guy got what he deserved. People can be wicked though. Now, please don't forget, how were these people introduced the first time? They showed them no little kindness. When you look at the kindness they showed Paul, you can't reconcile that with the people who concluded he was a murderer. Just because he was passing through. There's something you are going through right now, many people have concluded on you. You know, Nigeria is the only place where a woman loses the husband. The husband was killed by his younger brother. And yet, the people still believe the wife is responsible for his death. It is known to everybody his younger brother killed him. But because he has a wife and the husband is dead, she's responsible for his death. It's interesting how people just take a look at your life and conclude on you. And they say in their hearts, you deserve it. You deserve it. People are watching. And sir, I want to say to you, everyone who is watching you right now, who have drawn conclusions on you, soon they will change their mind in the name of Jesus. 3 minutes to go. When we lost our church, everybody look up here. When we lost our church building, man of God is aware of this story because I've shared with him my president or my chairman. You saw in the video they played yesterday in church. Let me tell you this. I was so sick. Pastor Lanre, I was on the Rock, Port Harcourt. Pastor Paul called me when he saw my condition. Pastor Lanre coming from Port Harcourt pastor, saw my condition after we lost this bill. You know what they did? Pastor Lanre got Dubai ticket, booked hotel, booked flight, and say, carry this man out of before he dies. I was that close to death. Carry my things. I spent, I think, about 2 weeks in Dubai. They had to rush me out of Nigeria to keep me alive. I wasn't talking to my wife. By the way, I wasn't talking to God. Because at that point, I didn't understand God any longer. Because how can I build a house for you? You now open your eye like this and they collect the house and you didn't strike them dead. I didn't do anything. So even God too, I don't understand him any longer. You know what I'm talking about? So I said, okay, we're not quarreling, but let's not just be talking for now. We'll talk later on when I understand you better. I don't know if you understand me. So I went to Dubai for 2 weeks. I was just looking into this empty space. I didn't know whether to believe or not to believe again. I went to a man of God. I considered a father. I said, sir, this just happened to us. And just let me tell you, because for the records, so I won't say I didn't tell a father in the land. I said that to him on a Monday. On Wednesday, about 3 different people called me. Pastor, I'm very angry. Including, I think, Kiki. What's the matter? That man of God's midweek service was Wednesday. The title of his sermon, Churches Without Foundation, House on the Rock. Opening verse of the sermon. On Monday, the pastor of House on the Rock was in my office crying. I used to warn you young people not to go to that House on the Rock. That useless place where they wear trousers. You people will be sneaking there, say program. Where's House on the Rock now? The pastor was in my office on Monday. The church has been shut down. Everybody has gone. House on the Rock, Churches Without Foundation. It was the sermon. There's a way to preach about somebody without putting the person's name inside it. Well, you put our name inside it. So just to say, he's not trying to be nice about it. And it was nasty. Literally, he did Thanksgiving on Sunday in his church to celebrate the closure of House on the Rock. I mean, our members' family, their mothers and fathers attended. So most of them left the church angry. How do you celebrate the fall of another church like this? But ladies and gentlemen, something interesting happened. Do you know, when that wilderness going from Universal to, which other hotel again now? That one in Rangers. Zodiac. In fact, midweek service is in this hotel. Sunday service. There was a day I didn't know which place our church is holding. I drove from my house and drove to the wrong place. I'm not kidding you. When I got there, they said, it's not here, it's another place. Now, if the pastor of the church doesn't know where service is holding, imagine the members. Choir was doing rehearsal in under the tree in Okpara Square. Am I correct? Okpara Square. I thought it was over. I didn't know where we were going to pick our pieces from again. And this is what happened. I got a call, the American embassy is coming to Nigeria. And they needed, because it would have been us. We don't have house any longer. We don't have church any longer. So they said I should recommend a bishop who is going to host American embassy. I said, there's only one bishop in town. I called the name of the man. I said, he's going to host it. And I called him. I said, sir, American embassy is coming to Nigeria. I've recommended you. You're going to be the one to host them. On the day I moved with American embassy, Professor Chinedu Nebo was there. A couple of other people. I brought them. Bishop Yobi Onubogo was there. It was shaking. His mouth was stammering. I said, this Pastor Edwin is a good man. Say, good man. Don't let other people's fire be your confidence and affirmation. Light your own fire. Because the same people that say, that are showing you kindness, tomorrow they'll be the ones to say you're a murderer. He's a good man. You see this man? He's a good man. He was telling the American people. I didn't say anything. Then one day, we're flying together. I was in business class. I saw him pass to economy. I woke up to him. I said, Daddy, this flight will not move. I can't be flying business class and my bishop is flying economy. I said, the plane will not move. I said, you go and take my seat, sir. I will sit on your seat. I saw tears in his eyes. People are watching you. That's all I'm saying. They're watching you. They looked on him to see what will happen to him. But you know what? I want to see, there's something about this conference. Everybody who has concluded on you, they will change their mind. See, if that's all the message we have, I think it's a good message. They will change their mind. I said they will change their mind in the name of Jesus Christ. They have given me 3 love letters to tell me that I need to move now. Let me just read this last 2 and go. Huh? Is it? No, it's number 4. Are you coming to number 3? When I've done number 3, look at you. Number 4. Get used to allowing people go when their time is up. It's number 4, not number 3. I've done number 3. Go to the internet and get number 3. I'm on number 4. Get used to allowing people go when their time is what? When their time is up. You want to complete the sermon? You complete it. Man of God said you could complete the sermon. So make I can't go. I know my time is up. Maybe I will look for another time to complete this. Ladies and gentlemen, look up here. To everything, Ecclesiastes 3 says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose. In 22 years, we have seen people come and people go. You know the interesting thing? A lot of the people who leave you now can become your best friend in the future if you handle their exit well. Life is about times and seasons. There are people in your life for a reason. There are some for a season. Even your biological child one day will tell you, I they go marry, I want to go. Allow people go when it's time. Don't fight them, don't quarrel them. Guess what? Some of the people you've sown seeds on will leave you today. Tomorrow they can become your biggest blessings in life. If you didn't fight them when they were going, celebrate them. It's painful to let people go, whether in debt, or they are leaving your office or leaving your church is painful. Particularly if you have built a lot with them. But sir, everybody was not designed to stay with you. And when people say they are going, pastor, we are the biggest culprit here. Don't fight them. Don't fight them. Let them go. Pray for them. Bless them. Tomorrow, a lot of the people who have left this church are my biggest blessings in life today. Because till tomorrow we see, we hug, we talk like they never left. Some of them return back to church. I celebrate them like kings. This is how to behave. Let's stop this thing of witch hunting fellow believers. They left your church. They didn't leave the kingdom. They simply move to another place of assignment. Let your perspective be global and be stop being small-minded. That because they left your church, that's the end of it. Your church is not heaven. It's only one of the routes or pathways to heaven. Is anybody hearing me? My time is up. I need to take Apostle to the airport. Who knows? Before the conference is over, I will take the remaining ones. Ladies and gentlemen, rise. Rise on your feet. I'm so sorry. All the pastors are standing up right now. It's remaining for them to come and fight me. Because they know that I have to take Apostle to the airport. But I love you guys. I pray for you. They will change their mind. Everybody watching you right now, concluding on you, saying that nothing good is going to happen. They've written your last chapter. Meanwhile, it's only chapter 2 in God's own book. I declare, they will see your end and they will say you are a God. They will say God is with you. They will say God is with your business. They will say God is with your ministry. They will say God is with your destiny. The same people right now who are laughing at you will be the first to celebrate you. They will be the first to celebrate you. You know that man of God called me after and said, when you want to dedicate the new church, please, I want to be there. When you want to dedicate the new church, I want to be there. He has called me several times to say that. Why? Because they will look at you, they will change their mind. I said they will change their mind. I bless you with the blessings of the Lord. You will soar above limitations, soar above every challenge. In this life, God will be with you. But much more, you will be a God right where God has planted you. I bless you with the blessings of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God bless you.
We hope that you've been richly blessed by this message. For inquiries or to listen to more of Pastor Edwin Bayebo's messages, kindly log on to www.hotrenugump3.com. That is www.hotrenugump3.com to download. Truly, the word works.